Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Zoe Ryan knows firsthand what it's like to live with psoriasis, but her personal diagnosis became a turning point, leading her to challenge stigma, reclaim control over her skin, and support others in a similar situation through her online platform. She joins me in studio now. Zoe, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Claire.
Tell me a little bit about getting the diagnosis.
Yeah, well, I suppose my journey with psoriasis started when I was 18, and that was when I got the official diagnosis of the condition. Now, it's suspected, looking back on my medical records, that I may have actually had the condition from a younger age and that it was misdiagnosed as similar presenting conditions. But I would also consider that my life with psoriasis really started when I was 18, because that's obviously when it was first said to me that I had it. And to this day, I'm still shocked whenever anyone mentions psoriasis that they know what it is, or if it's mentioned on something. Like, I was watching a stand-up comedian the other day and they mentioned a joke about psoriasis. And I'm just, even in this day and age with the line of work that I do as an advocate and an educator of psoriasis, I'm still shocked when people speak about it, because I didn't know about it. When I was first diagnosed, I'd never even heard of the condition, never mind know how to manage and cope with it. So to this day, it's still a surprise to me. Even waiting today in the waiting room, someone said to me, oh, I actually have a family relative who has psoriasis. And we're talking about how it's so much more common than people actually think it is. But I think that all just feeds back into the fact that with a condition that visually impacts you, and in a way that doesn't fit that social norm or that beauty standard that everyone achieves to, there is this level of embarrassment and shame that comes with it. And that leads to people not talking about it, which has that knock-on effect of, like, that people don't know that there's other people out there living with it, and that there's just generally a lack of awareness and knowledge of it.
So what is psoriasis, and what are the signs and symptoms?
So psoriasis is an inflammatory autoimmune condition, and it's very commonly miscategorized or misreferred to as a skin condition, because the main symptom of it is that it leads to markings on the skin. So that's why a lot of the time it'll be categorized as a skin condition. But as I said, it's actually an inflammatory autoimmune condition. So essentially what that is that our immune systems don't function as they should. To put it very basically, our immune systems are meant to protect us from the bad things. With someone with psoriasis, our immune system, it overreacts, it misfires, it can't determine good and bad. So it's just as always in this fight or flight attacking mode. And that results to an overproduction of skin cells on the skin surface. And that's where we get the markings, the lesions on the skin. So that's basically what psoriasis is. But it's so much more than the skin, because the skin is just what we can see presenting on the outside. But as I said to you, it's this like internal flame inside us, this inflammation within the body that has a knock-on effect. It is a systematic condition that affects other organs in the body, not just the skin.
So up until the age of 18, when you got your diagnosis, what had you been experiencing?
Well, when I was quite a young infant, I had had what my parents were told was a severe case of eczema as a child. So I also remember, like, I was very young at the time. I would have only been a toddler. And I remember to this day, my older sister lovingly refers to me as Red Rasher, because seemingly I used to run around the house without pants on to let the air at the skin that was very much inflamed on my thighs and around my groin area. And to me, the only memory of it really is the heat. I always remember lying in bed at night and the sheets were sticking to you, because the skin resembled like raw meat. Now, if it is, in fact, it was psoriasis, that would be the inverse psoriasis, which tends to not have that layer of scale over it. So with the most common presenting of psoriasis, you tend to have a layer of scale over a layer of inflammation. But with inverse psoriasis, that layer of scale isn't there, because it tends to be in areas of the body where you have presence of sweat, like in the kind of creases of the skin. So for me, that's what I would have known as a child. Psoriasis is this type of condition that it does what they say is wax and wanes, which means it comes and goes. With anybody who has psoriasis, they'll know that the form of psoriasis you have, where it presents on the body, the severity of the condition can change throughout your lifetime. So it's suspected that that's what's happened with me, that when I was a very young child, I had a form of psoriasis that then kind of died down in its symptoms and it went into a remissive state and then crept back up then when I was around 7. I presented with what was told was athlete's foot at the time, which it's now believed that could have been inverse psoriasis, is another location in between the toes. And then when I was in my teenage years, I got plaques underneath my arms. And it was around the time that I started shaving. So when a doctor looked at it, they were like, it's probably just razor burn from starting to shave. But now, as someone who's had psoriasis for over 10 years, I recognise the plaques. And I know myself that they were plaques of psoriasis that were actually underneath my arms. But like that, they probably just came and went in different forms throughout my life. But it was when I was 18, I got quite a severe case of psoriasis that was presenting on my scalp area. And I suppose at that stage, it was undeniably psoriasis. So they were like, well, this is definitely psoriasis. And as I said, it was just when they were looking back over the records, they were going, but from the notes here, it's probably a case that you did present with psoriasis at a younger age. But because psoriasis isn't very commonly seen in children, there's two kind of life stages where psoriasis first commonly presents. And that's in the kind of late teenage to 25 type of age frame. And then again, in your kind of 40s, 50s. So when we'll say there will be hormonal change for both men and women, very commonly in the kind of menopause for women. But outside of that, they don't really see psoriasis presenting in children very commonly, but it does happen. But for that reason, they're thinking it probably wasn't on their radar that you had psoriasis. With psoriasis as well, there's what they call a familial link, which is that for to have psoriasis, you have to be born with a certain combination of genes to be predisposed to having it. So it's basically a case of anybody who has psoriasis, you're born with the genes to have psoriasis, and then something along the way ignites the psoriasis when you're within your body. So you come encounter with an environmental factor that can be a stressful or traumatic event, injury or damage to the skin, coming on or going off certain medications, etc. And that ignites that first instance of psoriasis. And then from then on, your psoriasis is lifelong. But as I said, there could be stages in your life where you go to a near remissive state or even go into a fully remissive state, and it can come back in a different location or form. At that stage, my father has psoriasis, but he hadn't presented with it yet. He presented with it in the later stage in life. So he was, I think it was around his 50th birthday when he presented with psoriasis. So I suppose if you're looking at a child who has these lesions on the skin, looks very like other conditions like eczema, which is very commonly misdiagnosed as well, you're probably thinking it's probably eczema. So let's treat it as eczema.
So that means topical treatments that presumably don't work, or do they provide some relief?
Yeah, well, the thing is that there's a number of different treatment routes with psoriasis. As you said, the topical applications will be the first line of treatment in most cases. It depends. If you have certain types of psoriasis that need a little bit more robust treatments, they might jump straight to that. But with most cases and forms of psoriasis, the first line of treatment will say, let's try the topicals, let's see if they work. So that's why I suppose at that time, after a couple of years, it did clear up quite effectively. And as I said, went into a remissive state for a number of years.
But what was the psychological impact of that? Because you didn't know when it was going to come back. When it came back, it obviously caused you discomfort, but you also touched on societal expectations, wanting to fit in, our beauty standards. How did you navigate through all of that?
Well, up until I was 18, as I said, I wasn't aware I had this condition. I suppose it didn't really start to impact me until, as I said, I was 18. I was doing my leaving certificate. I didn't have time to be thinking about this. I was very studious and I was very just ingrained in getting through the exams. So it was when I went to college then and throughout my early 20s, when I was first diagnosed with psoriasis, my way of coping with it was, I was just in such disbelief that this was happening that I said, no, I refuse to believe that this is what they're saying that it is and that it's incurable. Surely not. And I went into the state of, as I said, disbelief and just refusing to believe that it was happening. And I suppose when I first decided to tell my story, as I am today, when I first decided to tell it, I actually got quite emotional because for a number of years I'd been repressing a lot of the emotions that I had around it. It was like when I was in my early 20s, I didn't allow myself to let it get to me and let it get me down. But unconsciously, I was. So what would happen would be I was on a treatment plan where you had to apply all these topical applications for a period of time. It was quite, what would you say, that, you know, with any of the treatments, the hardest part of this condition is undergoing the treatments. A lot of them, they're quite unpleasant. They're difficult to do yourself. You usually have to get someone else involved, which is obviously embarrassing. So my parents were involved in it because they were the only people that really knew about the condition at that stage that I would have confided in that I had it.
And what goes on in the treatment?
Yeah, so back then it was that I would have been provided with a topical application. It was a tar-based one was the one that I was put on first. Sometimes you can get steroid-based applications as well, but the tar-based one was the first one that I was put on. And it involves that you have to very meticulously coat the entire area that is affected by the psoriasis lesions with this application and leave it on for a certain period of time. Overnight's always best because it obviously has a lot of time to marinate. And because at that time my psoriasis was very much isolated to my scalp area, it's obviously an area that I can't see very well myself. So that's why my mother or my father in later years would have had to do this meticulous thing of dividing out the hair, for anyone who knows me knows that I have quite a lot of hair on my head. It's thinned over the years because of the psoriasis, but back then I had a lot of hair, and they'd have to be combing out the hair, separating it, dividing into places, applying this application. And the thing is that you don't feel like or look like yourself when you're undergoing these treatments, because, you know, you go by the mirrors and you look yourself and you think, who is that girl who looks like this slimy, greasy thing in the mirror? Like, you don't recognise the person that you are. And you have to sit there and you have to get it applied. And then, like, it may not seem like much to someone, but it's as if back then I didn't have time to have this condition. You know, I was very busy. I was going, you know, I don't have time for this. I'd come home at the weekends from college. I'd get my parents to apply the applications, do the process overnight, combing it out the next day, taking out the plaques that have been loosened and lifted, washing it out. And then I'd go back to college and I'd live my life and I'd pretend like it wasn't affecting me. But as the years went on, the lesions started presenting elsewhere on my body, outside of the scalp area, creeping down to my face, down the back of my neck, on other areas of my body. And unknownst to me, when I'd be going out, I would be covering up those plaques. But if you had have asked me back then, how did it affect you? I'd say, oh, not at all. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Whereas when I sat down and decided I wanted to tell my story, I got quite emotional about it. And people will see that the very first time that I decided to record myself talking about it, I emotionally broke down about it. And I wouldn't be a person who would quite show emotion in that way. But when I was looking at the edit, I said, this has to be kept because this is raw. This shows actually how it affects a person. Uploaded it online and started the awareness platform. The reason why I decided to start the awareness platform was I didn't know anybody up until that stage who had psoriasis. I was of the belief that I was very much alone in this journey, that no one else really had it. Because I said, people don't really talk about, you know, having the condition. So I wasn't aware that other people lived with this condition and that they had the same experiences of me. I developed a greater understanding of my condition and it allowed me to better accept it, to manage it, to live with it a lot better. So it's nice when people reach out to you and that you know you've reached someone else that now knows that they're not alone. Predominantly on Instagram at the moment, there's a Facebook and a Twitter as well. But hopefully in the next couple of months, you can see that official website will be emerging.
Zoe Ryan from at Itching to Tell You. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.